kids, they love Foxy Brown.
And we're back. This is episode 5 of the Always Rational K-Pop Podcast.
I'm surprised you remember which episode it is.
Yep. And because I'm ready this time, Zoe.
Oh, I see.
Aren't you happy?
No.
No?
Okay, well, I'm happy, and there are a lot of reasons to be happy this week. Let's get started first before I tell you guys why I'm happy. We will go through the news as usual. First is the debuts in K-pop. The girl group that comes first to mind is Rainha, and they debuted with Dr. Feelgood. And I must say that I love it. Love at first sight for me.
I'll just put out there that we will discuss Rainha more in depth. We linked to the video, so of course anybody that visits our site is aware of what the music video, what the choreography looks like. And if you know K-pop, you know the issues that would come to the surface as a result of this video. So
exactly. So if I were you, grab it before it gets banned. Okay.
Well, if it gets banned, they can't take it down from the internet. That's not how these things work. A lot of banned videos are still out there online in their completely original version. It's just that you can't put it on TV, basically.
And that's really sad. Anyway, next up, Brave Girls. They debut this week. They dropped the single and the MV for Do You Know at the same time. Is that even what the single is called?
Yeah, it's called Do You Know.
Okay, but underwhelming, okay?
Well, is it underwhelming because it's not what you expected, or is it underwhelming because you don't like it?
Not what I expected. I was expecting something more powerful.
Were you expecting, like, more dance song or more electronic?
I was expecting more of a dance song from them. And in terms of debuts anyway, I was really underwhelmed because there was a lot of talk about them. And being from the Brave Brothers, you know now I cannot get the fact that he's just one person out of my mind. Being from that producer, you know how he's made really, really good catchy songs for other artists?
But then you have to remember that he'll give away that kind of, well, not give away because he does get paid to do them, but songs to people that aren't his artists or that aren't himself, he'll make them, I guess, to suit their style or to suit what's popular. But I think for his own group and for himself, he wants to make the kind of music that he wants to make. And I guess he wants to make ballad songs. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong.
But debuting with a ballad dance song is really, really ballsy. Because nobody in their right mind does that. So
yeah,
we'll see how that works out for them. It's only at the time of recording, only 2 of the 4 major weekly music shows have aired. So
we'll see. We don't know yet.
As usual, people are rocky at the very beginning. Usually by Sunday, they've ironed their shit out and they're ready to go. So
yep. But yeah, underwhelming. I was expecting a lot more. Okay.
I know that one of the girls can really sing.
One. What about the others?
I only saw her teaser video. To be honest, I didn't really pay much attention to them.
Me too.
I've only like barely listened to the song. So because I came home, I was out exercising. I came home after 8 because we stopped by the food store. As soon as I got home, I made dinner and washed the dishes before I could make the dinner because everything was dirty. It's partially my fault because I didn't wash dishes at all this week.
Rewind.
What part of it? Where I made dinner?
Before you made dinner, you were exercising?
Is that a problem?
No. Wow. Congratulations.
Don't congratulate me. I'm only exercising because I put on weight and I don't like it.
I know. I know how you feel. I know the
feeling. But I haven't changed my eating habits, mostly.
You still have that.
Yeah, I'm not going to starve myself.
Nope, that's not right.
I do enough of that on my own, so.
The other debut this week, Brave Girls, so we're done with them. Next is Rainbow. Not a debut, but a new release.
You mean a comeback?
It is a comeback. They haven't really been gone, but okay.
Yeah, they have. They've been gone for a while.
Like, how
I
long is a
still,
while?
I don't know, 3 months is a while in K-pop.
Oh,
I
man.
should have been gone longer than that, but I still wish Jaek Young had gotten We Got Married, and I wish it had been with the dude from Beast. That would have been awesome.
Oh,
That would have
yeah.
been it. That would have been a giant fuck you to everybody, because you know they would have watched it anyway. Like, with all of their complaining, they still would have watched the
Of
show.
course they would have. They're fans. They're crazy. That I don't mean it in a very bad way, okay, girl? Sorry about that. But
She said you're
there are
crazy.
crazy
She means it
fans.
in a bad way.
No. There are crazy fans and there are rational fans. But of course, you know, fans
Hey,
that do not think.
especially after your sub stood up for her, NBC should have been like, okay,
Yeah, we should
pencil
get
her
her.
in to be on the show. This is going to work. But I mean, I don't know, because
See all the drama.
Nikun and Victoria are gonna have to leave eventually, so and soon. Don't look at this. Don't look at this the wrong way. But it needs to be soon.
Not saying
Because
anything about that.
no, I'm saying it needs to be soon because A, I don't want anybody to come close to the record. B, because it gets slightly awkward when you have two sets of new people and only one group that's been around for 6, 7, 8 months maybe. I don't know how long they've been on the show. Because I don't watch them,
I haven't
but
been watching.
I'm gonna watch this week. Raw, of course, because,
Because of the new couples. Okay.
and I know one of them's not gonna get subbed. And if they do, someone out there surprise me, sub it.
Let's watch together then. You know what we usually do and
That's in a
stream.
couple hours.
Then let's stay up together. Should be fun. Okay.
Anyway, what's next on the news before I get too carried away? I don't know what I'm
Yeah.
talking about. Rainbow.
Yeah, we were talking about Rainbow. Their new mini album is out, and they have finally found direction in their music because before they were sort of all over the place with the releases. They were trying to figure out what their style was, but this time the release is a lot more cohesive. Granted, it has two old songs, Mac and A, but the first two songs, two tracks off the album are very, very good. And Daishi Dance, who's worked with Big Bang in Haru Haru, or is it Lies?
It was Haru
So it's Haru Haru. He did a very good job. And I think part of the reason why I like their release is because of the way the song was executed, because it's kind of J-poppy to me. It sounds like Mika Nakashima's songs. It's good. I actually like it. And the melodies are really good. And I know, D, that you're gonna say that. You know, don't get me started on Rainbow, but you should at least give them a try.
I am a compassionate and a welcoming person when it comes to K-pop, but I think in the last 2 years I have just about hit my limit. It's like I've seen people say they're tired of girl groups, they're tired of boy groups, they're tired of rookies, and you know you have to accept that every year new people come out. It's what happens. It's the nature of the
Yeah.
beast. And it's just Rainbow. I was not feeling another group from DSP. I don't want to be feeling another group from DSP, so I'm going to continue to ignore them, just like I ignore the other how many members in that group? Nine?
I can
Seven?
seven rainbow. Yeah, seven. The colors of the
Whatever.
rainbow. Seven.
I ignore all girl groups above six members. That's my policy. I'm sticking to that. If you have more than six members, I don't care about you. Except Rainier, because I think they have seven. But they made an effort, and I reward effort.
Yeah. They have made an effort to not be ignored. So you can't really ignore them, okay? They're in your face. So
Yeah.
good luck with ignoring them if that's what your goal is. But
They're the
Rainbow,
exception
yeah.
for now.
For now. I hope they don't do cute anytime soon. Anyway, for Rainbow, I ignored them, really, from the very beginning. And then before this release came out, I've been hearing A a couple of times. I don't know where. Is it from here? From my iPod? I'm not even sure if it's from TV. Because we do get a lot of broadcasts here. A lot of channels show K-pop. And I've been hearing snippets of A. And it's stuck in my mind. Because I know I made a conscious effort to ignore them. But that's just, like you said, it's the nature of the beast. Shitty things happen. If it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. If it's catchy enough, it's gonna catch up with me. Yeah, I'm not gonna close my mind this time. I'm keeping an open mind.
So, I'm completely cutting you off about Rainbow, but as I look at this video, it reminds me that 4 Minutes comeback was this week.
Oh, I forgot about 4 Minutes. Just kidding.
And
just kidding. Just
so, they performed so far on the two shows, they've performed Heart to Heart and Mirror Mirror. And I just think that Heart to Heart's stage play thing is cute as all hell.
I haven't seen the live performance, but I really haven't forgotten about 4 Minutes because I was going to discuss them after Rainbow. But anyway,
you need to see them because it's they have, you know what? Pause.
Okay, now, we just took a very, very quick break because I had to see the heart-to-heart performance, the first heart-to-heart performance. Was it the debut performance ever, first ever, or was it...
No, that's the second one. Second? It's from Music Bank, so it's the second one.
Okay, so yeah, she made me watch the second performance. And as I was saying earlier, I haven't watched the heart-to-heart performance because I was so focused on Mirror Mirror.
Well, because it's air quote sexy?
Yeah, because I wanted to see how they'd perform live and see how it goes. And to see Yuna's sex face. There you go.
You know, you can see that regardless of what she's doing.
I mean, come on in heart-to-heart. Did you see that? I don't think I...
She still had it on. It's completely inappropriate in that song, but she still had it on. I don't think she knows how to turn it off once she's on stage.
But anyway, I just watched the heart-to-heart live performance now. And if you found the video, the music video, cute, then you better watch the live performances because it's also as cute as hell. But as D says, in 4 Minutes own way. But then again, you should never trust us when it comes to that because we like 4 Minute and we may be incredibly biased.
Yeah, we like 4 Minute a lot and it's only fair that we state that sometimes we may say things about them that aren't entirely accurate because we like them so much.
Yep.
And they had a bit of adversity, and I always like an underdog, so...
It took me a while to get into 4 Minute, though.
It took me all of 3 seconds. It was, oh, hey, Hannah's going to debut in a new group. They're called 4 Minute. And I was like, done?
That's it? You haven't heard anything?
Nope, I did not need any convincing. And then afterwards, they convinced me because they released videos of Gayoon and Jiyoon singing. And I was like, okay, 3 out of 5, not bad. I'm done.
No, I like them because I like their first release. And in the world of K-pop, there are very few debuts, actually very few, first album, first single, whatever, first something released that it really hit me. Like, all the songs are really, really good. And it was a very powerful debut. Now, that's what I call a debut. 4 Minute.
Really? Hot issue? You felt that way about Hot Issue.
The quality of the song, yes.
Nobody I've seen any, like, response from liked Hot Issue on the first go. Because people were saying Hot Issue, the style, their actual clothes was copying After School and 21. And they were like,
yeah,
the style of the music copied 21 specifically.
Not really.
I was just like... Especially when I saw the translation of the song, I'm like, no, if anything, the song copy is so hot. And I'm like, how do people not notice that? It has the same word in the title.
Maybe it's because of their very colorful outfits back then, back in the day. Because 21 was like that. Candy Funky. Now I remember the concept, Candy Funky.
Yeah. And then they threw that away when they came to the next single.
Yeah.
They were like, this got people angry. Let's stop.
But the thing here is that, you know how lazy I am to look into the concepts and look at the translations and stuff? I just listen and listen and listen. I didn't really give them a chance when they were performing live. I didn't really watch any of the live performances, to be very honest with you.
I have completely hijacked this day into talking about 4 Minute, but... I watched the first live performance on Mnet because I hate myself. And the first performance was, it was the kind of performance that you throw away, you forget ever happened, and you move on from there. They didn't mess up too badly, but I think one person was off key, and then somebody missed a dance step.
Mm-hmm.
All I really remember from the performance is they left, as they were walking off stage, Hyuna was crying.
Oh my goodness, poor girl.
And Mnet was doing their little, they had a semi-reality show. Or I don't know if it was specifically for M Countdown or if it was following 4 Minute, I don't remember. I think it was based on 4 Minute leading up to their debut.
Mm-hmm.
Because they also taped a little prayer powwow session before they went out on stage. And Hyuna was starting to cry, and like, as soon as they cleared the stage and they came backstage, like, the staff members, like, rushed her. And there was one lady in particular, I don't remember if she was the makeup artist or the stylist, but she was like, teasing Hyuna, telling her not to cry. She's like, if you cry, I won't love you anymore, and stuff like that. And it was like, sad. It was heart-wrenching, and at the same time, it was reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
Because having followed her in Wonder Girls, sadly, I know what kind of person she is, or at least, you know, the image that she gives off.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems like a person who puts, like, in that situation, the company puts a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
But it's also worse when you personally, you're a perfectionist and you put a lot of pressure on yourself.
Exactly.
And she seems like the kind of person who, like, keeps this insane amount of pressure on herself. Because with Wonder Girls, she got, like, all sorts of backlash when she was in the group. And because as the performances went on, she had a hard time regulating her breathing when she was rapping. She's often out of breath. They eventually tried to fix it by letting her rap half, letting Sohee rap the next half. And then she got too sick to perform. So Sohee was doing the whole thing. And you get reports at the same time that whenever she got criticized for dancing or for singing, she'd stay up the whole night practicing it. So it's like, you already don't have the best health, and then you're pushing yourself without the company telling you to do it, to stay up through the night without eating, practicing. You're only going to make your body worse. And like, knowing that, when I saw her crying, like, I almost wanted to cry at the same time. I'm like, shit, it's gonna be the same thing all over again. And I'm sure she had to be thinking the same thing. You know, this is her one chance to get back into music.
And I guess she really wants to be a performer. She really wants to be an artist. So she has the passion. She has the passion to perform. And she has the stage presence. She works it really, really well.
Yeah, I think that's why I always thought it was funny when people said that she was an attention whore.
No, she's
like,
not.
She was stealing the spotlight. And I always thought, like, people need to learn the difference between someone that's stealing the spotlight and someone that essentially controls the spotlight.
A person stealing the spotlight
will go behind the scenes. They'll tell the camera people to focus on them. They will step into another person's shot. They will do things like that. Someone that controls the spotlight, it's the cameramen are filming the whole stage, and the producer is picking shots that has this person in it, because they're just taking over. And like, unless the other people in the group are as charismatic, it's going to be really difficult for them to get equal camera time. And I think most groups have that problem. Most groups have this one person that really stands out, that really, especially early on in their career, that really owns the stage. And unfortunately, by default, that person tends to become the most popular member, or it's either the most popular or the most hated member. It really depends on how fans feel about them personally.
Yep.
But you can really go through and you can name any person that just every time they have a part in the song, they make you look at them.
Yes. And that's Yuna. That's Yuna for you. Remember, I guess I've mentioned this before, I've seen 4 Minute live, up close live, and it's the way she owns the stage, and then your eyes are just drawn to her, and like, you forget about the others, and that's bad. I know.
Yeah, that is terrible.
It is, but you can't help but get drawn to her. She has that kind of charisma. with charisma in girl groups and even the boy groups. Charisma, either you have it or you don't.
Yeah, it's just the one thing they can't teach. So
maybe the sex face, can they teach that? I hope they can.
Kind of.
I hope they can, and it didn't stem from something else, which we're not really going to get into right now.
No, that was a terrible conversation that we had off air. I don't think that should ever be repeated. So what was next in the news?
Next in the news, because you've hijacked us into talking about 4 minutes, and then I forgot the news. Oh, next in the news is Big Bang. Of course they make it to the news every freaking week. Not that I'm sad about it. Okay, Big Bang released their mini album? Their repackaged album.
Repackaged, it's still a mini album.
Songs. Yep. It's a recycled release plus 3 songs, basically. Yep. When I say recycled, I mean recycled because it has Taeyang's song, I Need a Girl, and then GD and Top's song. Oh yeah, and what else? And I think that's about it.
Did it have High High on it and not Oh Yeah?
Oh, no, it has both High High and Oh Yeah.
That can't be true. That's ridiculous.
No, look at track number 4, it says High High. And then track number 5, Oh Yeah.
I don't believe you, I have to look this up myself.
Look it up!
I am, my internet's just slow.
I have the album in front of me. So, there you go.
So, no. Yeah, it does have... God damn it, YG. I already bought both of those albums. I don't need those songs.
See? That's how
See,
I feel.
See, this is why I'm not going to buy this album. I refuse. Is I'm buying an album. And I already have 3 of the songs on 2 different albums. One song is a revamp of a Japanese song.
Yes.
And I don't like the other songs. Because What Is Right isn't even on here.
I know. See, so it's going to be a very hard decision for me. Should I get the repackaged album or should I get the first album? And then, you know, YG, he's going to make you get both. What the hell?
You solve your problem and for very little cost to you, you get the digital version of the albums.
But it doesn't make sense because I like the packaging. Especially for the repackaged album. It's really nice.
I do like the packaging. The three actual new songs aren't bad.
Yes.
Love Song, Stupid Liar, Baby Don't Cry. They're all decent to very good quality songs. Better than the original songs. Mm-hmm. Cafe is okay. But really the standout song on the original mini album was What Is Right.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate that the best song isn't included. And they wasted time putting 2 songs from the GD and Top album on here. I don't understand that.
No, you forgot about Taeyang, yeah.
I Need a Girl doesn't need to be here either. Because everybody that was going to buy that already bought it. I could see if you were including a song that was new. If they had a new solo song and they didn't make it on their original albums and you threw that in, fine. I don't mind paying money for those. Again, for those. But twice... Songs I already have?
Haha.
No, thank you. I will buy the digital version of Stupid Liar, Love Song, Baby Don't Cry. And to hell with all the other songs on the album.
I don't know. I think I'm gonna buy the repackage and just get digital versions of the first. I think that's what I'm gonna do. But I want... Damn, What Is Right? I don't know what to do anymore. I'm not gonna buy both because I have all the other songs.
It depends. Are you, do you have to have a complete collection? Because if you have to have a complete collection, you might as well buy both.
Well, so far, I'm just missing a few, but, it's a hard decision. No, damn it, I hate you, YG. I'll let you know next
4 minutes album to cart. Okay.
Okay, she's shopping. Look at that.
I was looking it up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
While up here.
Here we go. After that, they released it. I love Daesung's song. I love whatever he sings except for the trot songs because it's just funny. Okay. But Baby Don't Cry made me have the opposite reaction. It almost made me cry. Tears of joy, okay.
I know we're all waiting for Daesung's solo album. Summary got one. Daesung says, supposedly in an interview, he said that YG's not stopping him from releasing a solo album. He's just too busy to do it right now.
Oh man, Daesung, please, please, please.
Please, so I guess we can hope that it comes sometime soon.
Yeah, he has a very, very nice voice. I actually like his voice better than Taeyang's.
Because it is better. I have no problem with saying that. I like Taeyang a lot, but his voice is... It's still kind of rough.
Yep.
In terms of polish. It doesn't feel natural. Like, he feels like he has a lot smaller range than Daesung has.
Mm-hmm.
And Daesung's voice is just, like... It gives you that feeling of old-school R&B.
Yes, it is.
The kind of voice that sets the mood. Let me put it that way. So, like, you give him some good soul tracks or some good R&B tracks, and, like, that will fly off of the shelves.
Give me a good song that Daesung can cover.
I don't want to, because, like, I don't even want to pretend, like, I know R&B songs right now. That's my relationship with R&B at this point. Give him some old Boyz II Men or something.
Oh, yeah. Probably on Bended Knee.
Okay, let's not go down this road.
Okay.
You seem like you're going to get weird.
Okay, and I'm just going to lump the Big Bang News in one go. So they released their album. They renewed their contract with YG for another 5 years. 5 years. So are they free from the 5-year curse? I hope so. Not unless they decide to sue. Which I don't think they would do.
That doesn't make sense. They're not extending their contract for a long period of time. We know it was up this year or next year. And they re-signed already. So I think part of the re-signing is also due to there have been rumors and stuff that they will eventually enter the U.S. market. There's been the other big news that you're going to mention soon, I hope. That also leads me to think that it's in their best interest to re-sign with YG. Like, get that out of the way and continue towards making music.
Yes.
But because I think they probably even have more albums in their contract if they signed an album-specific contract.
Yep.
Because they did a lot of solo stuff.
Yep.
Taeyang got 2 solo releases. GD got 2. Top has 1, technically. And Seungri got...
One album, right? Seungri got 1.
Yeah, 1 mini album.
Yeah.
But he had a song previous to that.
What's that song now? Strong Baby. Okay.
Yes.
No, I think in the coming 5 years, we'd expect a lot more solo work from them. Because that's the direction that they're heading towards. So,
yeah. Well, they want to be Shinhwa, so...
Let them be. You never know.
Yeah. I have no problem with them continuing to make solo albums.
Mm-hmm.
Every 3 or 4 years, they can make a new Big Bang album, and we can see how that goes.
Yeah, that's fine with me. But the lying and the stupid decisions, YG, come on. You are making a lot of crazy decisions. Speaking of crazy decisions, KBS and YG. More and more and more drama for you. YG ditched KBS 2 days before their comeback and decided to not appear on Music Bank anymore. 2 days. I mean, why?
So this is the first time or the second time, because an apology, I guess, was sort of made. And they said initially, YG asked for 10 minutes. 10 minutes is 3 songs. They said, nobody in the history of Music Bank has ever gotten 10 minutes, ever gotten 3 songs. You're not going to get it. We can start from 2 and work from there, but YG seemed to be insistent on the full 10 minutes. While Dong Bai Shinki didn't have 10 minutes, they came pretty close. But, you know, Dong Bai Shinki and Big Bang aren't exactly the same group. So it's kind of understandable that they would give almost 10 minutes to them and not to Big Bang. But YG got offended over them really wanting 10 minutes.
Yes.
KBS offered 2. YG said no. KBS said, okay, fine. Like little children. you're not taking what I'm giving you. And you want more than that? Okay, 1 song or nothing. And YG said, okay, nothing. We're not performing on your show. And apparently, this happened last week,
yes.
I think. Apparently there were some concessions made, and KBS was having a special episode. I think it was 30 minutes extended, and they were like, okay, We're having a lot of special stages, a lot of stuff like that. A lot of artists are performing more than once. We'll give Big Bang 2 songs this week. And YG said they were going to do it. And then a day before recording, they pulled out. Now, neither YG nor KBS made a big deal of this. Let's keep that clear.
Yes, they didn't say anything.
The news is coming to us through a third-party source who is a noted anti-YG reporter. So take it with a grain of salt, but the fact remains they were supposed to be on the show. They weren't. Supposedly the part about them pulling out a day.
Yeah, they called in sick, you know.
Yeah. Well, they basically said something else came up. We have
personal
to do
reasons. The only reason that they gave was personal reasons and end of story. No one wants to talk about it, and really,
it's
I want to know.
It's probably too embarrassing, really.
Yeah, that's the why. Why? What happened there?
I don't know what you could even say. If it's something bad, you know, we expect better from what we consider to be one of the top idol groups. And let's not even go with this nonsense about they don't get to direct their own schedule. They just signed 5 years extra. They are pretty much, there's 21. 21 doesn't make a lot of money, but Big Bang is the main draw of YG. So they have a lot of say in the company. They're obviously not shareholders. They're obviously not kings of the company. But they probably are at the point where they can dictate their own schedule. If they say, I don't want to take this interview, chances are they won't be taking the interview.
Yes.
But we don't know all of the inner politics of what's going on with YG and KBS. Chances are it's going to continue to be a back and forth sort of game. If you're expecting to see Big Bang on KBS,
sorry,
the simple answer is don't.
You won't see them anytime soon. Maybe next year, you know, when
or
they've grown up.
There'll be a conversation back and forth with YG before 21's album drops. Maybe YG's going to keep up the same nonsense with only performing on one show per week under the guise of not having their artists tired out, because they still are somehow, and I don't understand that.
I don't know.
What can you do?
You never know with YG, because you don't really know what's going on. I mean, with these companies, I'm not necessarily saying YG is better than any of the other companies, because in a way they are a bit better publicly.
The public face of the company is a lot better, but I think in private they do all the same things.
Yes.
I don't think there's any dramatic difference
No. In
the major companies in how they handle things. The smaller companies, I think there's a lot of pressure on their one or their two artists, but I think they have the possibility to do things a little differently because they're new. They could afford to experiment. The older companies they've done things a certain way for years, and there's really no impetus, no driving force to make them change. So
exactly.
All they know is that you're also fighting a PR battle, so you have to make yourself look most of the time a lot better than you are.
Publicly, they project a very good image, but like what Dee said, behind the scenes, each and every company, they're the same. They make nasty decisions. I'm pretty sure, okay, this is a fact, of course. I mean, if you've heard about the news about Big Bang's contracts before, it was a long time ago when all the companies were investigated about the contracts. Nothing that stands out there. It's almost the same as everyone else's. A lot of restrictions. But the thing that I like about them is that they don't really air their dirty laundry for everyone to see. They keep it within themselves. Smart move. Okay, no more Big Bang news. Oh, JYJ. This is breaking news, apparently. JYJ's US tour will get a proper promoter / producer this time. Powerhouse Entertainment. And the concert will be in May, next month. And the stops will be released soon. I'm not sure if the stops have been announced. I don't think it has as of recording. Have you seen any news about that?
Nope.
No, so it hasn't been announced. This is good for the boys because at least now they're going to get paid. Not like last year.
Yeah, where they had to pay for it themselves because they didn't have performer visas, so they couldn't charge. Obviously, this time they should have already applied for performer visas, probably good 3 months in advance to apply.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully everything's going to be straight this time. Hopefully it's going to work out. We can assume that they're going to do shows in the same places they did them They did the free shows at least. So you're at least looking at New York, LA. I think there was a third show that I don't remember. But
I think it's just New York and Vegas.
You could probably at least expect those three cities. Beyond that, we don't know what they might do, but hey, people who live in New York can vouch that not every Korean pop singer that says, okay, we're going to do concerts in New York, not all of them remember, in the U.S., not all of them remember that there is also an East Coast. Yep. I hope sometime in the distant future, maybe within the next 5 years, they also realize that, hey, there is a Midwest, okay? there is a Central America, there is Chicago, you know, there are other cities all across the United States. Hopefully you guys, there's Florida. Florida may not seem like it has a lot of Asians, but they're there. They want to see the groups come to them because, let's be real, if you live in the South, it is a lot of money to get to New York, especially if you're going by plane. It is even more money to get to LA. So K-pop fans that are unfortunate, they don't live in New York or LA, it's a lot harder for them to see their idols.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, short of either going to one of those two cities or picking up and going to Korea, going to Japan, or whatever other Asian city they're doing a tour stop in. So we hope that if we're still doing this podcast 5 years from now, that we're saying, you know, we're reviewing concerts that have happened all over America. And, you know, and hopefully they will also realize that there is a European continent and a lot of people live there and they tend to be open-minded towards songs that are in different languages.
Well, I think Europe is slowly becoming a priority because there are rumors that a K-pop group is going to perform.
In France. Because I think part of the thing also is that Epic High and FX performed at, I don't remember the name of the show thing, but they both performed in France. So SM would have had to look at that and seeing that, hey, the audience is there.
Yep. Slowly, baby steps. Baby steps.
5 years.
You never know. In 5 years, they could be all over the place. And K-pop groups in Asia, you know, Manila exists, the Philippines exists. Let's see if I'm still here in 5 years. You never know. I may have gone back home. That's even harder, though. But China,
no, but
Australia, right?
You have to realize that there are a lot of aspiring K-pop artists are coming from Australia now. So they have to know that there is that market there.
We'll see. But yeah, I just hope. You never know. I may be back
also
home.
Canada. Don't forget, Canada is a place. As much as I mean.
As far as I know, though, when JYJ first announced that they were going to have the world tour for this year, for 2011, they included Canada in their stops. So,
yeah, they may be talking about a North American tour, but as far as I know, there are more K-pop artists from Canada than there are from Australia or from the Philippines. So,
really?
Canada, yeah. Canada, you have Alex, Tableau, Gina, Changmin from 2AM. There is at least that four are from Canada or have lived in Canada. So, Alex, Tableau, Gina definitely are Canadian. Changmin went to school in Canada for a while, then came back. So, those three, yeah, they are continuing to recruit people from Canada. So, you know, pay it back.
Yep.
Do shows in Canada. Whether you pick Vancouver because it's on the West Coast, also that may be cheaper to get your people there, but at least do Vancouver, do Toronto. I joke a lot on my other show about Canada not existing, but you have a world map. I'm sure they teach geography in South Korea. There are a lot of places on it. I won't even beg for the Caribbean, A, because I don't live there, and B, because I know that if you could rub together 10 people to come to a K-pop concert, that's a lot. So, but come to... also go to Brazil, because apparently there are a lot of Brazilians that are into K-pop. So,
no, Brazil is also getting a group this year, apparently. rumors. You know, if you listen to or read a lot of rumors, as I tend to do, there is talk actually that a K-pop group, a boy group, is going to South America, Brazil.
Way to go.
There you go.
If that does pan out. So, just so we could quickly tie this little talk together, because it feels like this whole episode is free talk, basically. In order to better consolidate their moves into the rest of the world,
mm-hmm.
Several K-pop companies have come together. The big three, of course, YG, JYP, SM, Key East, which is Baeyong Jun's company, and another one that I have no idea who they are, but I assume they cover actors.
Amen.
They've all fused together, and they're saying that for international activities, we're going to be one big agency.
This is world domination. Asian domination. Asian world domination. I don't know how to term this, but okay. It reminds me of, do you watch SpongeBob SquarePants?
I used to when I was a child.
Who's that little green thing? Power-hungry green thing?
The plankton?
Yes, plankton. Well, he wants world domination. And, God, why do I think of it that way?
I have no idea. You could have said brain from Biggie and the Brain. That would have been easier.
Yeah, but because I watch a lot of SpongeBob SquarePants until now. But I still can't remember his name.
Biggie and the Brain, still better. But anyway, it seems at first the actors are going to be pushed to the forefront, because I think Hollywood has been keeping an eye on the Korean film industry, and I think they want to work with a lot of the actors and a lot of the directors. And it's kind of going to be a rough match, because they're going to end up inevitably in a lot of bad roles initially until they get a better grasp on English. But no, the actors are getting pushed forward first. I think a lot of the artists that that either have one member that speaks English or that have international cross appeal. So we can assume that if 21 ever does debut in the US, it's going to be under this umbrella group rather than solely as a YG product. So I'm cautiously optimistic about it.
I'm not.
I know you think evil. You see evil everywhere, but I'm cautiously optimistic because they see that Hallyu has added so much to the Korean economy, and it's much better for these international companies that are going to be approaching these artists if they're only going through one group of people. If they come in, say they're looking to use Miss A in something, they go directly to this company, say, give them the proposal, blah, 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 and a decision is made there. And probably some people will be unfairly pushed forward. We don't know if they're going to be sort of under the table bargaining, where if you take this person, you have to take this person as well, even though you may not want them. But we'll have to see what comes out of it.
Yes.
I hope that they manage to continue to push forward Hallyu, because the amount of people that are into it keeps growing every year, and it keeps growing in countries that you would not expect. So hopefully it gets to the point where it's a completely global phenomenon. If it's like Hispanic music was for that 1 year, when you couldn't turn on the radio without hearing a song with Spanish in it, if K-pop gets to that level, I will be happy. Even if it only lasts 6 months, I'll be fine, you know, because they can always go back to Korea, they can always go back to Asia. Well, probably not always go back to Asia, but for now, they can always go back to Asia. And there'll still be that group at home that's into them.
Yes.
Because they don't seem like they're going to let go of their fandom, even if in the West, we tend to be a lot more ADD with what we're into. This week we may really, really love a group, and the next week we are trashing the hell out of them because it was funny when it happened to Rihanna. But you know, you can't fault them for wanting to go further into the world in Asia.
Yeah.
It's always best to kind of throw out your roots and see how far they go. So
we'll see how this pans out. But the way I see it, this was established for their own benefit, really.
Yeah, of course.
Well, this is what I told you yesterday. This makes it easy for them to conquer a market. I mean, there's always two sides to a story. Two sides to a coin. Two sides to everything. So that's the good side, expansion. But the other side is, what about the smaller companies? They don't stand a chance. They really wouldn't. It's really, it's just like strengthening their current positions right now.
Chances are the smaller companies are either going to get bullied or they're going to have to go through this company in order to promote their artists. I mean, obviously not in Japan, but beyond, if you're going beyond Japan, chances are they'll say, you need to get in line with what we're doing.
Yeah, get in line. A lot of people want to join us. It's like an exclusive group. If you notice, these are the big companies. You know, these are the big, big, big companies that have the money and the power to promote their groups. So it's like an exclusive group. The way I see it is that they will use it to their advantage. Because you know how Korea isn't really open to other countries promoting in Korea, like, you know, how they are with Japan. They've only started recently with Yamapi and the guy from KAT-TUN, Kamen Nashikazeya.
I occasionally see other artists. I think Music Bank probably does it the most. Music Bank, I've seen, what did I see? That was Music Core with Far East Movement. Performed Rocketeer, I think.
Yep. But still, generally, yeah. I mean, you'd think that they'd be a lot more friendly towards Japan, really, because they keep on conquering the market. But in a way, it's they're a bit too selfish to open up their market to Japan.
Well, I mean, if you want to perform in nightclubs, if you want to perform at a concert venue, I think it's okay with them. But it's just performing on their shows where it seems to be a problem. But that's probably just because they schedule their shows and their artists in advance. And someone that's breezing through Korea in a couple of days probably wouldn't have the time to come and do sound checks, come and do rehearsals, come and set up the stage, that sort of thing. So
I think it also stems from the fact that there was a restriction. There was a restriction for Japanese artists to sell their music in Korea, which was only lifted in the 90s. Look at that. I mean, what year is it? 2011. And how long ago was the 90s? It wasn't that long ago, really, to be very honest. I'm not even sure if it's the 90s or...
The 20s. The 90s were at least 11 years ago, 12. You got to keep that in mind. 1999 was 12 years ago.
That they lifted the restriction for Japanese music. So yeah. But they were trying to make inroads in Japan during that time with SES. That was a long time ago. Oh my goodness. Okay. All right.
Let's talk about Rainier.
Oh, yes. Rainier. I posted something, right? If you guys read the blog, yeah. You may know by now that I've fallen in love at first sight with the girls. I was so surprised that they came out with a concept as daring as what they're doing now with the dance moves, the MV, the song, everything is just in your face. It's like a big watch me, look at me, I'm so different.
I don't think the song was intended to be different, because Teddy Riley doesn't seem, especially from the article or the comments he made recently, where he was saying he didn't expect the international fandom to be so big, and he didn't expect the music that he wrote to reach, you know, English-speaking people living in the States. So I think he would not have known what to expect with the song or what kind of reaction it would have garnered. So I think he just wrote the song in the same way that he wrote most of his other songs throughout his career. You know, these are attractive girls in their late teens to early 20s. Why not? Let's make a song about what every other person in their age group would be singing about.
Rainier, yeah. But
that apparently is getting a visit from Dr. Feelgood.
But anyway, the lyrics, we just saw a video earlier that had the Korean lyrics translated to English.
It's just as bad as the English version. Let's put it like that.
I'm waiting for the song to be banned. Give or take a few weeks when they finish their promotion cycle.
We recently read an article where they were talking about what songs have been banned, what songs need to be reviewed, and they either need to put the 19 plus sticker on the albums in stores, or they need to take out the album and recut the song and put it back in, which most people aren't going to do because that's extra money. Mm-hmm. But most songs you find, they get reviewed well after the promotion period, because there were some GD and Top songs that were labeled as inappropriate from minors well after they've stopped promoting SGD and Top. So it kind of feels like there's also some corruption in that system, and that the big companies, and even to some extent the smaller artists, they're able to get away with it until they're done basically making money off of the song. But Rainier's song is not subtle. Like, I mean, it's subtle if you're 10 or mildly retarded, but you know, if you understand euphemism, it doesn't try very hard.
Yeah.
And I can, in this world of, like, it's weird because in terms of American music, I would not care about the song at all, because it's another song in the inundated river of sexual songs. But in K-pop, it's like,
whoa,
a fresh wind almost, you know. Yes. It's not what anybody else is doing, so even without trying to be subtle, the song is just, it's just in your face, and I'm fine with
that. Yes, me too. I like it. I like it very, very, very much, as you may have established by now.
But the song is clearly about the singer's relationship with Dr. Feelgood. Mm-hmm. Whether he is the person's paramour, or whether he is just a dude that you go to get off. Because that's what it sounds like he is with the song, basically. But she says that she's been bad, and she needs to feel good.
Yep.
So this is his area of expertise, and this is what he handles, and he makes her melt like ice cream. And I'm fine with all of that, you know, because everybody, if you look at it from the perspective of if they wrote their own song, which we all know they haven't, because Teddy Riley's in the name of the album, but everybody needs to feel like they're in control of their sexuality. And I think they're going to fit that niche, whether it's of young women who may feel like they need to be empowered in that way in that society, or just dudes that are looking to be dominated, whatever.
Yeah.
It's really what floats your boat. That's none of my business. I don't care. That's between you, your sexual organs, and your monitor. Okay?
Really, 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 to be very honest, you know, if you look at the comments, I'm quite disappointed at how people have been reacting to the song. Of course, you know, you're going to get the haters, or you're going to get the people who would call them sluts. But then, come on, like last episode, we talked about not saying shit about people you don't even know. It's right, an image. Like
a slut, the word slut is a very personal term. It's basically, you know, this person's behavior, and this person's behavior is that of a slut, which is a similar word to whore, a similar word to, God, I don't know why I've forgotten all of the synonyms. But skank, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. where this is a person that you know is not discriminatory about their sexual partners, where you could ask them how many people they've slept with in a week and they cannot find a number on their fingers. If it goes beyond 10, you kind of get this inkling that, hey, you've slept with more people than there are days in the week. You might have a problem. I mean, and really, the person may be fine with that. That's their decision, that's what they want to make, do with their lives, but they fit the definition of slut.
Yep.
And dancers on a stage with an image, performing choreography, singing a song, not sluts.
There okay? you go. Definitely.
Get that out of your head. Not sluts.
And I'm just going to call these people out now, and I'm being rational about this. That's my disclaimer. I'm not sure how old you guys are, but when you reach a certain age, you know, when you see more of the world, I guess you would understand what we're talking about.
And to the people that are old enough to damn well know better, You should feel ashamed of yourself.
Yes, you should
be. I don't care how conservative you are. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what country you live in. You have to understand that there's a difference between the product that you see on stage and who that person is.
Exactly.
Okay? And slut is a very personal term that you should not be using for singers unless you know aspects of their personal life. Unless you have proof. Fact.
Yes, you have proof and facts. Fine, call them sluts all you want. I don't care. But these are new people in the industry. You do not have the right to judge them. You do not have the right to assume that they're sluts. You do not have the right to say shit about them because you don't know them.
And let's call a spade a spade. Rainio is a very talented group from what we can see, okay?
Yes.
They're dancing their choreography completely on point. They lip-synced to apparently the Mnet performance, the Music Bank performance. Seemed like it was more probably 60-40. They definitely lip-synced the chorus, but there seemed to be more singing on the verses and the bridges and the ad-libs. So we know that they can sing. They've proved it. We know they can dance. Or they can at least do that choreography, whether you call it dancing or not. Because I know some people, how they go. There were a lot of people that were saying they might as well have stripper poles. And really, it's a ridiculous comment. And there was something I saw on YouTube that I actually wanted to draw attention to, because this is what I was thinking about as I was reading the comments on a different website. And basically, this is on the performance I watched, this is the most voted up comment. A person posts scenario one, male idol thrusts hips at screen. Fangirls, oh my god, nosebleed. Female idol thrusts hips at screen. Fangirls, what a slut.
There you go.
And this is not this person. I mean, the person may be exaggerating to some degree, but this is basically what happens.
That's the general reaction.
There's a clear double standard, and what sucks is it's a double standard of females towards females. It would be one thing if these were guys doing it, if there were guys calling them sluts. But the fact that you want this independence, you want to be able to do what you want, to dress however you want, and to not be judged for it, and you go ahead and you judge products as something as terrible as a slut. Now, we know there are people that are very accepting of that label. There was a slut parade in Canada. I'm not going to judge you, sluts. You're fine with it. That's the word you want to accept. Okay.
Yep. It's your life. Your decision.
The second scenario, which is really like the point that jumped out at me when I saw the slut shaming, is scenario two. Sinishide runs around with lollipops and licks them coyly, and fangirls, with the innuendo rushing over their heads, exclaim, "How cute." Rainia straddles the floor, and the fangirl's response is,
"Oh god,
that's too sexual for my virgin eyes."
That, okay, I have to say something about that.
Go ahead.
I think it is worse, a lot worse, for Sonia Shide than Rainia. It's because of all the innuendo. Because they're hiding the sexuality under cuteness. And if you're doing that, it's like you're encouraging all the pedos to come out. You know what I mean?
You're basically getting at that you're dressing up their sexuality under a layer of this cuteness, this childlike behavior.
It's innocence. And it's even worse.
This image that you want the middle-aged fans that you cater to have of like a daughter-like avatar. But they're doing all of these sexual things and they're willing to do all the things that you want. Now, Tell Me Your Wish is a completely cutesy song, and it can also be interpreted very, very wrongly if you're ready for it. And there will be a lot of Sonia Shide fans. Like, as soon as I determined I was going to talk about this, I'm sure there are those of you that don't see that connection. You may be too young to see that connection. You may be too in denial to see that connection. But what you have to realize is that every one of these groups, no matter how much you like them, no matter how much you think you know them, they're all products created by old men to appeal to basically other old men. So whether they're overtly sexy like Rainia or whether they're subtly sexy like Sonia Shide, because people seem to think that dancing a certain way or dressing a certain way is the only way to be sexy. And really,
no.
sexiness is an abstract concept. Anything really can be sexy. It's not just showing your midriff or showing your tits. Oh, wearing a shirt that says "for rent" on your tits.
Hey, for a minute again.
I'm gonna put that picture up with the post. Like that okay. That shirt. I have to share that. But because someone says they're gonna have a sexy concept, it doesn't limit sexiness to just that. Because you can be sexy while being completely clothed. You can leave you can leave a person like hungry and wanting more without ever doing anything that's stereotypically sexy or that's cliched sexy. Because I mean, a lot of the singers that have really over time have really gorgeous voices that they come on and people are instantly wet. They weren't particularly attractive. They just stood there and sang. A lot of these people, they just had the voice. So sexiness isn't this this cut and dry, simple thing like K-pop seems to want you to believe. There's so much more to it. And you know what? If these girls feel fine doing that choreography, if they're, you know, their mothers are completely disappointed in them and ready to disown them over this, I have no problem with them doing what they're doing. I hope it shakes up K-pop to some extent. But
it does.
I would prefer it if it's the older singers. And when I say older, I just mean everybody's over 18. That don't need parental that don't need a signature to be performing on stage. Those people, that I hope is mostly them. Like, whether it's people in their very early 20s, whether it's people just a day over 19, American 19, of course. Whether it's them, as long as they're all of age, they're all consenting. This is choreography that they don't feel uncomfortable doing. I don't want someone that's put in a situation they don't want to do this, and the manager or the CEO is like, do this or you're out of the group. I if they don't feel comfortable, I don't want them to be doing something like this. If they are, brilliant.
Good for them. Fierce. You're in control of your sexuality and your image, and that's good, and that's brilliant. It's great, actually. But the argument here is that in Rainha, there are 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds.
17.
So there are two girls? I think there are two girls.
Yeah,
it's just
so.
One girl.
I think there's two.
Two girls under 18. Okay, but I'm pretty sure before they signed up for this that they knew what they were signing up for. Because they were going to be promoted, well, they are going to be promoted in the U.S. And who is basically mentoring the group? It's Teddy Riley. What kind of music does he do? Think Blackstreet. No diggity. You know, it's inevitable, really. It is inevitable. So they kind of knew what they signed up for. They consented, and if they really want to be stars, they have to be ready for anything. And also, I'm very happy to see that these girls are doing what they do best on stage, because like what Dee said, you know they can sing, you know they can dance, choreography is on point. And I'm sure Teddy Riley wouldn't put his name on the album if they couldn't, right?
Right.
Crying out loud, I mean, Teddy Riley, first expansion in Asia. And that's the name of the album. Doesn't even say anything about the name of the group.
It's like one of the sad things about people's comments is they were saying that Teddy Riley is basically irrelevant and he's trying to go out there with Rainha so he can bring his name back up to relevancy.
No, no,
and it's like,
no.
Are you even?
He doesn't need Rainha to be relevant.
Aware of music? Like he's creating
goodness.
A group that's in, as far as America is concerned, in the obscure market of Asia. Nobody cares. So there's really there's no reason for him to need to do this. I don't think he's blown through all of his money. He still has credibility as the guy that found found the Neptunes. So
come on, dude, and Blackstreet.
If you've heard of music, you've heard the Neptunes.
You know who the Neptunes are, children? Pharrell and Chad Hugo. I think we better educate the masses. I don't know. Teddy Riley doesn't need this to be relevant, okay?
It's not his fault that you were born yesterday.
Mm-mm. And it's not his fault that your musical taste is limited to a box. You should expand your musical repertoire or whatever you listen to. Okay, let's check very quickly. Teddy Riley, what did he do? Blackstreet. You know, I love Blackstreet. Classic R&B. Although I don't like Keith Sweat. Okay.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with some Keith Sweat. Okay?
Makes me sleep. The entire album, if you listen to it straight out.
I wouldn't listen to the whole album.
There you go. It makes me sleep.
You can't catch me listening to a whole R&B album. But certain songs,
Bobby
yeah.
Brown, My Prerogative. Okay. Okay. Now, remember the time Michael Jackson... In the Closet, Dangerous, and what else? Remember the Time and Jam with Janet and Michael Jackson. What else? Oh, this is what I like. Rump Shaker, Rex and Effects. Classic.
You know, most of these people were born after these songs came out. Some of these people were probably born because of these songs. And someone made a comment like that that was hilarious. Like, y'all better not go hating on the guy that made the songs that are responsible for y'all being born.
Yeah, you don't go hating on the guy. And what else? Da-da-da, No Diggity. Man, I love that song. Emery. It's okay. So he worked with Emery, Robin Thicke. Okay, she did something for Lady Gaga. So think about it. He has a lot of credibility when it comes to the music market. And, you know, I have friends in the music industry. I'm not going to say who they are. But they are, you know, they're producers. And they will look up to Teddy Riley. You know, he has a following. When you say Teddy Riley, they think R&B. He has his catchy hooks that he can incorporate into a song. So it's hook, very catchy, R&B.
So that's basically perfect for K-pop then?
Yep, perfect. Although the approach may be different, but over time, I guess you'll see the genius behind the man, okay?
Let's not forget that he also produced a song for Jay called Demon that people have been waiting for since the beginning of time, it feels. So
maybe it will be released when Hype Nation is released.
Well, he's supposed to release his album soon because they unblacklisted him and all the other stuff.
We'll hear about the song, or maybe we'll hear the song soon. You never know. Because, yeah, Jay Park has basically been unblacklisted, the apology done, blah, 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 and he even has a reality show coming out. So there. Remember, kids, this man is relevant, and I would say that if a group is being mentored and being looked after by someone like him, then they have a very big chance of success. There you go. I mean, granted, the market may not be ready, but... It's knowing the right people, working with the right people. And that's one thing that sets Rania apart from the other groups. I think it's an unfair advantage, actually. But hey, they got lucky.
I mean, other groups get to debut under SM. They get to debut under YG. So why not take what you could get?
And if it just happens that you get to debut under the direction of a guy... who is considered to be an institution in the American music industry, then you're very lucky. Are we done with Rania?
For now.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, it's only been 2 days, really, since they've started performing, so...
But dang, all the talk in 2 days.
In the future, I hope we continue to have a lot to say, and I hope it's all positive. I hope people get over themselves.
Yeah. And I'm sorry if we offended people in this episode.
I'm not.
We just had to set things straight. If you feel that, you know, we've said something that you don't really agree with and you totally have a different opinion, feel free to let us know. Okay?
Email us at thealwaysrationalkpoppodcast@gmail.com, or you could send a message through Twitter at twitter.com/arkpoppodcast. Or as you're looking at the website, if that's the way you get access to the episode, alwaysrationalkpoppodcast.wordpress.com. Just leave a comment there. We'll get it. Approve it, most likely, as long as it's not spam. So, get in contact with us. We're always willing to at least pretend to hear what you have to say. No, I'm kidding. We'll listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
We will even bring it up in the next episode. So,
yep.
And always, if you want us to talk about your favorite group, you want us to talk about a particular issue, get that along to us. Let us know. We'll be happy to do it.
Yes, so let us know and don't be shy. Say hi. It rhymes. Oh my god. I think I'm tired.
Don't forget that we're your friends. We're here to talk about K-pop, about something we all enjoy. So,
yes. So there. Keep that in mind, kids, okay? And you people who are not kids anymore, keep that in mind. That's about it for me. And me?
Good night.
Alright, good night, everyone. Have a good day, night, wherever you are. Bye.
Just give me your smile.